The work of the ministry, according to the Bible, is to train and equip the body of Christ for the works of service, for ministering to one to another. So when we look at a ministry and we want to evaluate a ministry, people can use various sorts of indicators or measurements. But the biblical measurement is this: is the body of Christ being trained to serve others? And I want to say thank you to those of you here. You're part of this ministry. You're working, you're serving, you're loving, and you're living it out. When we see the testimony today, I have a question to ask. The question is this: when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and sowing to the Spirit, what is the purpose? What is the reason for that? The answer is so that the fruits of the Spirit would be manifested in our lives. Now, when we talk about the scriptures we just read, we had a chance as a team together midweek through our studies to look at these 9 specific fruits that are listed here. And when we think about these 9 fruits that are listed here, what comes to mind is on a baseball team, there's 9 positions out there in the field. And if, as you know me, I like things like that. But my desire was for our students on the trip, as we're discipling, many times it's hard to know what does love look like? What does joy look like? What does peace and patience and goodness and kindness? What does faithfulness look like and gentleness and self-control? What does it look like? And we were so blessed to have 9 other servant leaders on our trip. So we had Sean on the mound, and he represented love. And then one of the students had a scripture from John that reflects that kind of love. And then each of the students would take a specific position. And so they said, this is what love looks like in Sean's life. This is what joy looks like in Delisha's life. This is what peace looks like in Rick's life. This is what patience looks like in Kevin's life. And goodness looks like in Belinda's life. Tenderness. Kindness. And kindness and tenderness go together. It's a doubleheader for your game. And then with Jamie to see faithfulness. And Alexis to see gentleness. And where's my buddy? Isaiah, self-control. And the students were able to really bless our leaders with how they've seen these various fruits in their life. And we must be a ministry that sees the manifestation of this. But when you can visualize this team and the various positions that are out there, whoever's pitching today, they can play in the outfield tomorrow. And the catcher can go to first base. In other words, all these types of fruits can and should be manifested in our lives. This is not the gifts of the Spirit where God gives specific gifts to individuals. These are the fruit, and this fruit can be a part of all of our lives. Amen? So the question is, how? And as Sean stated, Galatians 5 starts off by standing firm, by standing fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free. I say this. I say, standing fast in this, that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I'm standing fast in this truth that it's all about Christ. I'm standing fast that because he came, died, rose again, because he lives, I can live too. No compromise on that at all. There's only one God, only one Savior of the whole world, and it's Jesus Christ. No negotiation at all. People are free to believe whatever they want to believe, but not free from the reality and the consequence of that choice. There is only one God, and he has manifested himself to us beyond all shadows of doubt. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. No compromise. I'm going to stand fast on that. There's no wobbling or wiggle room in that area. That's it. It's Christ. We're here because of Christ. You take Christ out of this picture, let's leave. Paul said, if he didn't die, what's the purpose? That's what Paul said. He says, our faith is in vain. But he says, no, thanks be to God. Secondly, we're going to stand fast always on the Word of God. Always on the Word of God. The Word of God is not up for negotiation. It is. God's communicated clearly. He hasn't stuttered. We have his Word. We need his Word today more than any other time. If we truly want to experience freedom and liberty, it's through the Word and through our Savior. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It's Jesus. Amen? It's his Word. And that's what we need. We're not letting go of that. It is his Word. Listen, today, the world that we live in, they want to take away the Word of God. They want to tell you what part of the Word of God you can believe. We believe it all. We believe it all. We're not strained from it. We're standing fast in it. Well, Pastor, I don't think I like what you have to say. Listen, take it up with God. He's the one that's saying it. I'm just repeating what he said. Then when we're looking at this, we're going to stand fast. So the point is this. In just the next couple of minutes, summarizing this all up, summarizing a week-long trip with a great team and students, summarizing it all up, I'm saying this. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit manifested in our lives and in our fellowship more than ever before. How? We must be continually filled with the Spirit of God. We must be led by the Spirit of God and not by our feelings and not by our flesh, led by the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. What can keep us from doing that? Kevin brought the message on one of the nights, and he says, you ran well out of Galatians 5:7, but who hindered you? So let's just look real quickly. What hinders this great work of the manifestation of the Spirit of God is a little leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a drop of E. coli, and you go, no touchy. A drop of leaven in your Christian life, and no one wants to be around you. It pollutes everything. So watch it. Brothers and sisters, we're all guilty. We all have, at times in our life, yielded to the leaven instead of to the truth. Secondly, when we're looking at this, we saw in verse 15, after we serve one another, what will keep us love from flowing? If you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you're consumed by one another. Quit nitpicking on your family members, on your spouses, and in a fellowship. You know what I mean? Biting one another. Don't do that. Yesterday, when we were leaving here, again, we prayed so intently on this trip. I mean, there's things that are going on. It's like when the event is over, whether it's whatever it is, they're out swinging and gossiping. Aren't you going to swing? No, I'm just praying. What are you praying for? I'm praying for this section of stuff to get over, this little entertainment. But I'd be doing the same thing. And parents, it's okay. They're all back here. But as you were saying, at one time the rope got hung up on a tree. And I thought, praise you, God. We're done here now. And then they got a stick and knocked it down. Okay, I'll keep praying. But listen, when we were leaving here after the trip, we thought, thank you, God, for everything. We cannot communicate to you the reality of the roads we ride. I ride a bike often. These are difficult roads, difficult circumstances. It's very hard, very grueling. Listen, in the East Sound in Orcas Island, you go from sea level to 2,200 feet in 10 miles. I mean, it is challenging. But when we were leaving here yesterday, my wife was ahead of me in the car, my car. Then Belinda and Kevin were behind us, but this car, truck pulling a trailer with a a backhoe on it. It lost control. I was in front and I could see it going, and Belinda was behind it and Kevin behind her. And on the guide, it ended up right all around. And we were panicking, and Pam, and you know, I turned around in the roundabout up there and came back, and it's just like our team. But thankfully, just a matter of seconds, but thankfully. And I know you're looking at your wife, and just thankfully. You know, when you go through something like that, and you look at this, it's just like, how foolish to bite and devour one another. When you look at the value of life and how quick it can disappear, how foolish it is to waste time on that. Also, it tells us in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the things that will steal away what we're working hard on. And I love as we talked about bearing one another's burdens, but it also says that you must bear your own. And our students, they have a bicycle with racks on them. They have these carry-on buckets that they take with them. And I think with the weight, what do you think the weight is with sleeping bags and buckets and everything? 25 at least? Maybe 30 pounds. That's a lot of weight on a bike especially. And that's what they're responsible for. And they have to carry their own burdens, totally. And sometimes they may want to buy a souvenir. It's like, well, you're carrying it if you're buying it. So I'd suggest you put that weightlifting set back on the shelf. You know, it's a... They carry that. But one of the things that Sean has done with the leaders is when we get into the East Sound Orcas Island, it's the third island of the three-island trip. They've already ridden quite a bit that day, and there's that last ascent up into Moran State Park, and they're all gathering around, and he's inspiring them with words. And then he says, okay, you can take your bags off. We're going to take them up in the trailer, and you can go. And he loosens that burden. In other words, the Bible says we carry our own weight. We're fully responsible for our walk with God. But brothers and sisters, we also help lighten the load for others. We come alongside. It talks about bearing one another's burdens. And this is a ministry where we want to sow to the Spirit. We only get what we've been sowing. And I want to sow to the Spirit. I want to sow the Word of God, sow to the Spirit. I want to see our heart and love for one another in the ministry just to explode in our love and our service for God, right? I mean, just this is it. That heart and that compassion. We need to dig into His Word. We need to be a part of our services here or on Sundays or at other times and just really experience this walk in the Spirit. We cannot experience this if we're not a part of what God's doing. It's a joy just to be a part. And the great thing that was pointed out is God isn't looking at making a bunch of perfect people. Come on. He's just looking for us to know Him like never before. To know Him. And when we know Him and He's in us, then we see that's what love looks like, because it's Jesus in your life. That's what joy is. That's joy, because that's Jesus in your life. How can you have such peace right now? That is Jesus in your life. No one would be this patient right now. What's that? That's Jesus in your life. Why would there be goodness? It's Jesus in your life. I always say tenderness, and it's kindness in your life. And it's Jesus, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control. It's Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this. And just our time together. Continue, Lord, your great work within our lives. Father, I thank you, too, for just our leadership team. And I pray that as the men and women were standing here, and our body is aware and sees them, I pray, God, that even today there can be the personal initiation, especially on parents' hearts, just to say, thank you for investing in my child. And then I think just overall, as a fellowship, we all rejoice in what you've accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.